Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you caters and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Gary Crimps, and I'm coming to you live from my residence here in Northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on ShakenWakeRadio.com. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what's going on, I know either station would appreciate any kind of support that you can muster up. I also want to say thanks to Stephen Roberts before the show is over, because I always forget at the end to thank my producer for doing what he's doing. Welcome to the show. I am joined by Dave Delisle and Mike Trahern on this first hour. We haven't scripted anything because there is a pile of crap going on, excuse my language, that we can hit on today. What's your pet peeve, Mike? I'll start with you, and then I'll go to Dave. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks. Welcome. For having us, Barry. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Good to talk to Dave, too. I haven't talked to you for a while either, Dave. It's got to be at least a day and a half. But it's been busy. Thanks for having us, Barry. And, of course, yeah, we always thank Steve because Steve's awesome. He puts all this stuff together for us. But you know what? I guess we could basically go anywhere. I kind of got a thing of who stole the cookie from the cookie jar lately. And it doesn't seem to matter which way we turn, whether it's provincially between Ontario, Quebec, and Alberta, BC in there too for a few of the slams. But, you know, it doesn't seem to matter where we go, federal government, Trudeau's agenda, analyzing our social media, to Andrew Scheer stepping down. I don't know. Where do you want to start, Dave?
Actually, Dave left for some reason there. Do you know what happened? We dropped the call or something, Steve? Because he was there and now he's gone.
I didn't drop it. He must have.
Okay, well, Dave, he fell off the log or something, Mike.
I'll get him back.
We'll try and get him back here in a second.
He might have fell off the log for a second. He's probably jumping around right now on the computer trying to figure out what just went on. But
wasn't it Scheer that he just got caught this week paying for his kids' schooling out of government funds?
Well, I think that you know, is probably a big, big issue. I don't know that that's the only reason he stood down. I think, I don't think the party should have been paying for that. But on the other hand, that's just another argument for them to bring up, kind of almost like a Trump impeachment, just on like a little smaller no-brain scale like Canada. But I don't mean to talk that way, but you know, it really gets awfully frustrating when Andrew Scheer, we know that he had the position to win. He didn't sell the deal. He's not really that personable kind of people out there kind of person. Do I think Andrew Scheer is a great guy? Absolutely. Do I think he's a great politician and he's young and he's got a big future if he kept going? Absolutely. Do I believe that he's corrupt enough, but just nice enough to actually make it happen? He could be. I doubt it, but I could be. But now the biggest problem with the Conservative government is we were kind of nervous of this deputy because she jumped over from the Liberals just 6-7 months ago from Trudeau's cabinet, and the new statement called social conservative. And that really puzzles me, Barry, because I really wonder what a social conservative might look like, because socialism never works. And I don't want to start to abbreviate the word of socialism, but it is what it is. That's what it is. And it's a conservative that leans that way. So that's not a conservative party. That's a sort of leaning centrist left is what that is. And that's always dangerous. So we don't like that talk. Now, depending on who's going to go in the running here, I heard the likes of Peter McKay, maybe he's declined and said he's not running. I don't know how much of a hiccup we're going to have in the Conservative Party on how many MPs actually leave and cross floors. That may happen. Or they may seek out a different agenda and just bide their time as still having their seat in the House because it was a one riding. So it's kind of hard to kick them out because their public voted them in. Let's see what's going to happen here. But it's another big mess of the Conservative Party since when Harper left. It's going to be a couple of year deal, I see, before anybody comes down to the pipe that's leading it. And then we're going to be on the forefront of running into the next election, which would mean that we wouldn't have a shortened election on Trudeau's minority, unless his party wasn't happy with what he was doing and they decided to get rid of him. So that would be on the highest scale of hope. I don't see that happening, but it may. You never know. But I just have a big feeling that we're going to have a conservative shuffle like we had before. There's talk of Rana Ambrose coming back in. I haven't heard her make a statement on that. I don't think that she would. I think the last part, she was a little worried about her French. So, and that would make a big difference because you got to have a bilingual prime minister. I don't know why that is, but, you know, because there are some candidates that aren't very good with French speaking, but we live in a bilingual country, and I guess our leaders should speak both languages. I don't think that's not an underestimated statement either. I think that they should. But it doesn't mean that we can't have an English or French minister that didn't speak one of the other languages, as long as, you know, we had, you know, a little scale running across the bottom of a television or whatever we're talking about to have, you know, full complexity of what they're speaking about. But, and I don't think that should matter. And it seems like most people that are in government speak a broken French English anyway, and so that's okay too. I think that we just need someone who can govern this country according to what's going on in the balance of the globe. And we're not acting like we're talking with anybody in the globe. I think actually, quite frankly, no one in the globe wants to even speak to us at all. It doesn't matter who it is. And there was a lot of Facebook action on how, you know, Andrew Scheer's a nice guy and he's a family man. And yeah, he's all those things. Absolutely. Nice guy, family man, you know, family out settled in Saskatchewan, which apparently his kids go to private school. So obviously he wasn't paying for that. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be as much of a hiccup in the history of Andrew Scheer or why he went down, or that would be a pretty corny little action. You know, I'm sure over some of the money, there must be some sort of benefit. They don't make that much money. And when you're a leader of a party, I think that kids should go to private schools at that point so that they're protected from our, you know, unknown public. So do I think it's as big of a deal as people think it is? I don't think it is. I think that probably any of the party members' kids that go to school is probably a benefit of the party, but don't mark my words on it, but I'll bet you any money he's not the only one. So,
well, maybe this will open up the door to people actually looking at an alternative, and that alternative would be the PPC, in my opinion. How are you doing, Dave? Is Dave back in the show now? Are you here, Dave? Well, he was there, and now he's gone again. Or are you with us, Dave?
I thought I saw him on there.
Dave's live. Here.
Yeah, he's here. Dave, you got your microphone moved? Yeah, you might have your microphone muted, bud.
I see him on the picture right there.
Yeah, Dave, you might have your microphone muted. Because we see you.
Unmute.
We can't hear you. No, we're not hearing anything from you, bud. So,
it shows you being muted. It shows you're muted, Dave. Drop out of the call and then come back in without being muted.
Yeah, well, maybe you can do that. Dave, drop the call and then come back in again. And you can turn your audio off, or your video off, because we don't need it. But yeah, no, I agree, Mike. There's a ton of stuff that I see going on right now with my government that's really got people kind of up in arms. They're really opening their arms to the United Nations agenda right now. We look at the new gun laws they're trying to pass. Hey, Dave, are you back with us now?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear. I don't know if you're listening to you. Welcome to the show, Dave. I know you haven't had a chance to say anything yet. What are your thoughts on what's going on right now? Quickly off the top of your head, I just stated that, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of people starting to pay attention to what the PPC is actually saying going forward here, finding ourselves in the situation we are. So what are your thoughts today there, Bud? Welcome.
Thanks. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not real. It doesn't surprise me that Andrew Scheer stepped down. I really think he should have done it months ago, but hey. I think if Max was still in the running in the Conservative Party, he would have been the PM.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm not happy that they seem to want to run the women. I think they should be running the people that are more qualified. Not to say that the women aren't, but there are people that are more qualified for the position, like Paul Bear.
Well, he's very qualified for the position.
He should step up and take it.
He might not get the party support because he's very conservative.
He is very conservative. You know, of all the people I've heard talk in the Conservative Party, Pierre would be a logical step forward because the guy's very articulate, very intelligent, and he's very conservative.
Yes, he is.
Well, he really delivers a good speech as well. So,
Well, he does. And the reality is that he is, because he's conservative, he'll bring the party more back to the right.
He's going to have a battle on his hands, Dave.
I think the
Conservative Party runs deep now. We know that. So you're going to have a major infighting in the party if somebody like Pierre was to get in. But maybe that'll happen. We're going to sit back and watch. But what this offers right now is an opportunity for the Liberals just to run wild while the PCs or the Conservative Party are in disarray. And you kind of mentioned that earlier, Mike, and that's what I see going on here.
You know, Barry, anytime you take a party that's gone social conservative, like I said, that is very damaging to my brain when I hear those types of words, because it's the biggest oxymoron. But the bottom line is this, that I don't think it's all Andrew Scheer's fault on what he didn't sell the deal. I think he got caught up in a little couple of scandals against the PPC, so I'm not going to take that away from him. And corruptness is all through our government, voting, our situations, all of it. It's all been that way. It's been that way for decades. We just are a little more aware of it now because there's major changes going around the globe. So what's going to happen with the Conservative Party? But there's two things that can happen. Either they move to the social side and they eliminate conservatism, which just leaves the PPCs involved in being a conservative-leaning party, obviously. I'm a little concerned about how the PPC is going to reorganize. I'd like to see them reorganize a little differently than they are. And I think that regardless of Maxime Bernier, if he's running or not, I think someone else will also run for leadership of that party. I think that you'll see a debate on who's leading it and why. And their structure may change a little bit because of, valuable presence in certain provinces. So, you know, We got to see how it's all going to turn. We don't know that Max is not going to turn. If Paul Avert gets pulled, does Maxime Bernier lean back towards the Conservative Party and bring his voter back to it and makes it a Conservative Party? Is that a possibility? That could happen. There's lots on the table right now, and I'm sure all the politicians are talking like crazy. I'm sure Max is as well.
Yeah, it's definitely turbulent times. Go ahead, Dave.
I agree. I think that Max needs to change a little bit, but his message has to stay the same.
Well, I think his message could stay the same. I think that he could be conservative in his value, because that is a conservative value. His party runs on a conservative volume. I think that the conservatives have a portion of that volume inside their party. When we look on Elections Canada, I go to it all the time to see on who votes what, and the conservatives do very funny things, and it's only certain members. So I don't know how that's going to change, if their directive is going to have to change to be a part of the party. They may have to. And that would be good that we follow a rule in this party, and that's the way it goes. And if you want to be centrist left, then you should go across the floor and see if your riding likes that idea. And if they do, go across the floor, get away from the party. We just have no substance in Ottawa because there's so much left and right in each party, even the Liberals.
So, yeah.
You know, not every party member now votes in favor of Justin Trudeau. They don't do it. They haven't been either. Some of them disagree. Their kids are out of work, too. We got a big problem in our country. It's a very, very big, big problem. Boris Johnson, I think that's going to be the big decider. How does Justin Trudeau deal now with Boris Johnson government in the UK? How does he handle that?
That was a loud voice spoken by the British people. For sure.
And landslided, and second time.
Yeah, and biggest victory since 1935. But we're also seeing the same thing happen all over Europe right now. A major rise in conservatism. The people are standing up. I've said it many times in the past, the more people stand up, the more they're going to push back. So we're kind of into very, very kind of crazy times right now. More crazy than I've ever seen before. Lots of little triggers up there. Lots of little triggers up there right now that can be pulled, Mike.
And Barry, we have, and Dave, sorry, but if I could just, because I haven't spoken much lately, and I, you know, look, when we look what's happening in Western world, first off, I've always said this, Barry, and I've said it many times on your show, that look, Western culture deserves its crib on this planet, okay? And our culture has to be defended, regardless of how it's diversed itself. Within that freedom of what it is, and most people believe in what that freedom is. It's just a few bad guys making it a dirty pool. And unfortunately, even though it's a minority, we still have a government of 5 or 6 people that are pretty corrupt down there in Ottawa. And you know, I'm not saying corrupt, you're going to go to jail.
Mike.
They just...
Barry.
Yes, Steve.
You have to bring your microphone back up like you did last week to your mouth.
That's right there.
It's too far away, and it's picking up the background noises too much. You have to keep it closer to you.
Is it better now?
Excuse me. Yeah, I see that
Barry?
As far as the UK goes, the biggest problem is the globalism. The people are tired of the stuff that's going on. They want to change. They want to bring their values back.
Well, that's what I've been saying that is happening, and not just countries from Europe. I mean, we're talking, we're talking Spain, and we're talking, Bulgaria, and like countries that generally don't show protest. Like even Iran is protesting because there's breakage everywhere, and this overkill government seems to be very losing its battle. People are standing up, and like in Iran, they have a right to protest, but they only have a right to protest in a certain way. And there they just delivered the judge and jury right on the street. We know that. I mean, in the last one, how many people were just shot in the streets? I think there was 100 and some odd people in their protest, shot to the ground, because that's how they work it there.
And well, it's going to be that way here.
It won't be that way here if we make some changes, and the people have to help make those changes, and we have the last stand in the world to actually defend it, because the attack is basically on America. So if the attack's on America, Canada's the easy way on. And remember, we're 2 unprotected borders of the U.S. and Russia. So 2 superpowers. This place military-wise. On the aggressors is a very important piece of land in a military discussion. And I don't want the guns of Russia and the States staring us in the eyeballs here in Canada. That's something I don't want to see.
Well, that's why I think that Russia is moving closer to Canada over the Bering Sea.
Well,
they're trying to take up more, get closer to Canada.
But our government's not interested in getting...
Can you honestly say that Putin would listen to an idiot like Trudeau?
He wouldn't listen to any of our government, and our government wouldn't discuss it with Putin either. Not one of the parliamentary people in Ottawa would say we should have a relationship with Russia. Not one.
Well, no, because they're afraid of him. Putin will tell them like it is.
I think it stems much further than that, but I want a relationship with Russia. I think that, in the demise of where our government's gone, I think that we need to reestablish some new allies in the world. I think we need a different discussion with Saudi and Iran and Turkey and Qatar. I mean, many places, not just those, but some other countries in the world in our realignment. Many years ago, I spoke of how Canada's alignment with our allies and our friends and our trusted friends may very much go away. And when it did that, our new relationships would bring new allies in a different course, because the whole world is changing right at this moment. It's happening with the U.S. It's happening in the South China Seas and in those areas. When we talk about those areas, it's happening in the Middle East. We're seeing big rebellion in the UK today, and Boris has come out with some of his I'm not going to pretend to say that I don't want our country to live under our laws and our rules, and if you don't like it, don't stay. I think that's not any more strong than Gaddafi said, when we're going to rebuild and we're going to come and get you. So that's you know, there has to be some new rules in this world, and we have to have compliance, I think, with other countries and change some of the rules where we're going to have to abide by some of them, all of us. It's going to change for everybody. But there's definitely a way to win the battle, and there's many countries speaking back. Hong Kong, look at Hong Kong. Again, 3 times in 30 years, every decade.
if you look at it, Russia's moving more towards capitalism every day.
And yet, for 40 years.
And yet the idiot in Ottawa is moving towards communism.
Yeah, but he's on that side of the track, though, Dave. He's on that side of the track. They still feel they're conquering and winning. It's like this impeachment thing on Trump. Look, I don't care if anybody doesn't like Trump or likes Trump. This is just a breakdown of America's system on having people that are in control in a house of a small number of the population of the country that are taking down the country because no governing is going on. It's certainly not about the people. It's a cat and mouse fight, and someone got control of a house and is using every opportunity to try to stall it. So, and what happens? So Donald Trump, let's just say, gets impeached, and then he wins the next election. Then what happens when he wins back the house? What happens then?
He's going to win it all.
But the thing is that he's still got to go on the American taxpayers' dollars and put a year into undoing his own impeachment. Can you just imagine something like that? Like, this is America, man. It's an embarrassment to the world.
But if you look at it, the Democrats, the people that vote Democrat, and I would say probably a fair amount of them, they're not in support of impeachment. And the things that need to be resolved in the country are not being touched because they're playing around with this.
You know, well, when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And, you know, there's a fight back and a push on out of America, and Donald Trump started that push. There's a certain neighbor in the area that doesn't want to be so friendly with everybody else in the world right now, so if that's politically correct and doesn't damage our show. And that needs to be straightened out and rectified. There needs to be some rules put in place for those people. And we got to stop being corrupt within our side of our governments and call who it is who it is. So the Canadian government, as I'll always stand, and I'll stipulate it, and I'll take any lawsuit against it, has always been, and I've said for many, many decades, one of the most corrupt, if not the top three in the world governments on this planet. And
proof of that is just SNC. What's going on with that? And it's not just a liberal.
Well, and that's just recent. I'm talking from like 1930. We're going back a little bit here.
I agree, but if you want to look at things, that's a great place to start. Start from there and get back.
Yeah, very good place. Yeah.
It's incredible that the things that are going on. I mean, even in the States, you got somebody like AOC. Who the heck would want her as a president? She has the IQ of a crayon.
Here's the deal. You know, it's free speech. So we have to entertain the free speech, and we have an opinion to say that, she is something. We have the right to state that, and that might not be the clarity of everybody, though. But we need to get back. It's so out of control now. You know, the other day on the phone or on the radio, Brad Trost was saying that, you know, the conservatives need to pick three key objectives. And I like Brad. Brad's a good guy. He's not going to be running. We're aware of that. A good fella. But, you know, I agreed with him, but I didn't agree with him to a point of, you know, governing anymore is not governing. There's been no governing going on forever. So since there's no governing on, and we now look at it finally at the end, I've been saying for 20 years, we got to have people that run businesses, not just some politician that thinks it's right for all the people, but somebody who actually runs the country. And in this world trade job and the trade deals that we have that may change because allies change because their provider of their currency went a different way. These are all big, valuable conversations and arguments on not the United Nations as far as the a group that runs in to bring aid, but on the United Nations agreement of the world. So all of that's about to change. So in this alignment, we knew this was coming, that we were going to have to realign in many, very, very many ways. Right now, we're not aligning with Russia or the States. Canada is not really aligning with anybody, quite frankly.
No, They're alienating everybody.
Well, we're just not very well liked, and it makes people scared. Like, it makes other governments scared on what and who they're dealing with, and if they're going to be on the same page tomorrow morning when they woke up, depending on if they were doing cocaine or smoking weed last night. And that's really what it comes down to. And I don't like to speak like that, but we got an out of control government of kids. I think the oldest ones that are saying anything are probably not even 45 years old yet. And they're making big brass decisions against governments that have been in power in some places for 40 and 50 years.
Yeah.
Their argument is not valid to come between the two massive differences to get to a center. It just doesn't work that way. So,
and what fight do we have, really, to push our narrative, for Canada to push its narrative? What do we have to hold over anybody? Nothing.
Well, nothing, but we have the people. And listen, I believe that we live in a cultured country. I've always said that. I don't use multicultural because it's racist right off the bat, and it labelizes what it is.
It is.
So I don't use the word because it's a bullshit word, and it set us up for what we were. Excuse my language. I don't normally slip like that on the radio. But it's a crappy word that we can just call ourselves cultured, and that just puts us into unity of one collective. But there still are a bigger amount in this country, I believe, that are into capitalism. They love freedom and they love nationalism. They're nationalists that came from other countries. So the capitalism thing's just an add-on, and that's a big bonus. So I think we have more of that, and instead of pushing this divide amongst the cultures, when the racism is basically within all of those cultures who didn't agree in their country. There's a lot of that type of racism going on. But
oh, yeah.
I don't see culture shock racism. I don't see that happening. So, you know, we have to make sure that a public understands that. That's our job, to make sure the understanding to the public is, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
And I was looking at a study the other day, and I can't share it because I'm in Facebook jail, that basically said there's no racism realistically in Canada. The research has shown that it's just a big bald-faced lie.
Well, we're the only country in the world that's been able to achieve it. Although we have culturalism everywhere, even through Europe, Canada's different than the U.S. It's different than Europe. Canada's a different country. We're Canada. So we're not supposed to be like the Europeans. We're not supposed to be like India. We're not supposed to be like the U.S. We're Canadians. That's what we do.
That's right. And everybody came here to make a better life. But not only that, but for Canada to move ahead. And they all had that in mind, that mindset. And what the liberals now are doing is changing that. And the people who have immigrated here legally and whatever have issues now with the fact that people are stepping on their toes. And well, that ain't
here's the deal. When you get any collective in any country together, everybody is going to behave themselves no matter what accordingly, no matter where they're from. It does not matter, as long as you have stringent rules. And that's something that Canada used to have. It used to have very stringent rules, and that's what kept everybody on an equal plane. Because it works for everybody. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of expression. We have a lot of freedoms in this country.
But reality is that that's what they're trying to take away from us.
So, but the structure needs to be changed in so many different ways. And it's time for a rewrite. It's time for everyone to sit around with the leaders of the world and say, hey, man, listen, things have changed. China is now with whoever. Russia's joined on with the U.S. and Canada, for God's sakes, and they're fighting socialism and communism. Think of the turn we've come from. Russia fighting against communism. Understand what that really means.
Oh, exactly. And the trouble is that the narrative is being pushed that anything that goes against that or opposes that viewpoint is considered hate speech. Come on now.
Everyone's hate speech. It's all hate speech. They're living off hate speech. It's a new word.
But you can't have an opposition. You're not allowed to have an opposing viewpoint anymore.
Well, let's just see how they trigger the social media, and let's see how Facebook complies and Twitter. let's take a look at those two ones because the rest don't matter after that. And let's see how they narrate that. And let's see if that we get any videos from certain communities that don't like our communities, that are very racist against our communities, and if they're allowed to distribute their content on Facebook. Let's see that argument, because if that is the argument, then we have an argument. So, you know,
why can't we as Canadians get a class action lawsuit against Facebook and whatever for stepping on our rights?
I'll tell you why. We're
suing them for $1 trillion.
We're such a young country, guys. We're just babies in this world, okay? We're like little, we're infantile. We're toddlers, for God's sakes. Okay? We're not old. We're new. You know, we're not as old as the U.S., and it's a little bit older than us, but it's like 100 years, man. Like, it's a long time. And we're broken, and then we have all the society that knows which can stand together, and we got, I don't know, 100 cultures in the country, and no one knows even how to talk to each other yet. We're just proud that we didn't hurt each other.
I look at it from the things that have been passed down to me through the family with my native ancestry and whatever. My native ancestry has been here forever. My French ancestry has been here since the early 1600s. Things have changed in a bad way. I mean, since the beginning of the takeover, I guess. And
can you guys hear me?
I don't want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm having issues over here.
Okay, well, I was just going to answer to that, Dave. Listen, because we're so young and we're so cultured and we're trying to figure it out, instead of trying to figure out, I think we need some sort of better movement that has some construction to it, that brings communities together in Canada based on what we know as each other. And I think that, you know what, no matter what it comes down to, I think that everyone would say that Canada is a magical place and it's worth fighting for. You know, I've used this analogy before and just said, imagine if a cultured country stood up for us to the balance of the world to make our rules work for us, and that if you wanted a safe place to come to, this is the place to come to because we make sure it's safe. Now, is that a storybook? Possibly. But is that an agenda that's attainable?
Our laws no longer work for everybody.
Pardon me?
Our laws no longer work for everybody.
I know, but you can repeal all that, though. Governments can come in. People can run for positions. People out of the blue that know politics might just jump up to the plate one day and say, I'm breaking all the rules for raising money. I'm running. I got millions of dollars behind me, and I'm running to win this thing because this is ridiculous. And if you want to have a problem with me when we reach the federal foundation because I raised money because you wanted us to run it your way so nobody could ever run because they didn't have the $6 million to run to be a prime minister of a country, then if you told the public that and you said, okay, repeal me, then try to impeach me then. Whatever.
Well, but the problem is that what Trudeau and the Liberal government are pushing, and they're pushing it extremely quick now, is they're bringing in Sharia law one thing at a time. And yeah, Sharia does not belong in this country.
Well, we talked about...
Well, it is my show. I haven't actually had a chance to talk here for about 20 minutes.
You told us to fill in.
I've actually been enjoying your guys' conversation. Yeah, really, there's a lot of things I could have added to the conversation here in the last 10 minutes, but you guys are really doing a good job. I'll just let you continue talking. But yeah, Sharia is being brought into our country for a reason, Dave. Everything that you see going on in our government right now is to destabilize our society. We talk now about immigration levels and the numbers of people that are actually coming into Canada. We've got to look at where these people are coming from, their culture, what their values are in life. And what we see in Canada right now is a major influx of people that don't share our values. In the bottom line is they do not share our values, and we're allowing them into the country. We're setting up enclaves in this country of societies that will never assimilate to Canadian culture. We look at the numbers of people that are actually coming in through the immigration channels, the illegal immigrants. We look at the foreign workers programs that are going on in Canada right now, and how that's a gateway to stay here for anybody that comes in and you're under one of those programs. Then we look at the student programs that are going on and the gateway they have to stay in Canada. We're talking about 1 million people a year possibly coming into Canada. going forward. Well, our country isn't going to be able to sustain that kind of influx of cultures that don't want to assimilate to Canadian culture. And I'm not a racist person. I love immigrants. I love immigration because it's what made this country great. But what we have right now in the immigration system is just it's a sham, and it's not working.
It's the arrogance,
support our country.
Barry. Huh? It's the arrogance that they have.
Well, it's the same agenda is going on everywhere, Dave. If you look at what's going on in Europe right now, and of course we don't hear a lot about what's going on in Europe because of the media quashes on information.
Same thing.
You look at the million people that went.
We're the only country that's not fighting back.
Well, why is that? We are fighting back, Dave, but there's a very small majority of Canadians that actually seem to have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to this. A lot of Canadians are just apathetic, and I see it everywhere in my society.
Oh,
they don't
growing.
Care.
Yeah. We're growing, though, Barry.
Well, I think what the most important thing really is, gentlemen, is to get through to people the urgency. If we could really make people understand what is going on in our country right now and the direct threat, not for 10 years down the road, but 5 years down the road from now, what's going to happen if we continue to let our government allow the United Nations to dictate policies and infiltrate our government at all levels, which they're allowing to go on right now. We've signed on to the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact. Trudeau is going to sign us on next year to the United Nations Mass Education Pact. We see them getting involved in all our municipal and government levels. That has got to come to a stop. If the Conservative Party ever wanted my support again in this country, they would have to come out guns to the wall against any United Nation involvement in my country, period.
Well,
just
I
like
think,
that,
you
Trudeau.
Know, that very, I think that your dreams will come true anyway. A lot of people not supporting the UN. It's financially not stable, and I don't see it really getting any further. Do we need another group that stands in for world aid? Yeah, sure we do. Look, there's a lot of books that are going to be rewritten here in this next, very short amount of time. We're going to be writing books on who's allies to allies, who has changed, who are we doing dealings with, our country being sold out, how do we regain it back, currency changes going through the roof. I mean, I can go on and on, man. I can give you 1,000 descriptions of what's happening today as we speak. World banks, governments, fortune companies, everybody's on a different level and a different scale. And even Fortune 500 is in jeopardy at this point in time. So there's a lot of crazy, crazy stuff going on with a bunch of leaders that don't seem to want to agree. But there does seem to be a small amount of leaders that do agree. And I would put us on the spectrum if we could get Canada working, because we see that U.S. is obviously saving the relationship with Russia till Trump's next 4 years. That would be my suggestion. And he'll be the last guy on the planet, because it'll be so excessive by then. Someone's got to do something just to save the innocent people in the world at all. And there's always going to be that group that definitely fights back. No one takes the world, okay? No one. It's been tried. It's been tested. It gets ugly. It gets sorted out. We're looking at that just based on how they're looking at 2030. And all of those things that are in our faces that once we start speaking about it, 2030 sounds so far away, and it's just around the corner.
I'm going to push back. I'm going to push back on that one, Mike. I'm going to push back because in the past, sure, there's been governments that have tried to take over the world, but they haven't had at their fingertips the tools and weapons that governments have now. We'll call them the boys behind the curtains. Have at their fingertips to actually make something like that feasible. And I'll push back against that because I believe that the end game is a one-world government. They're not going to stop till they achieve that. We see them setting up a one-world currency. We see them setting this up very, very intricately. Yeah. We see them setting it all up right now. All the pieces are being set up to completely control the masses. We've talked about this many times on our shows. We talk about the effect of an economic collapse worldwide and what kind of effect that would have on people. Let me finish my thought, and I'll let you guys I mean, I've hit on this so many times that, you know, really, these guys control the money. They control the banking systems, and that will be, I believe, the trigger mechanism that they will use to bring total control into society. How is society all of a sudden going to deal with an economic collapse that hits everybody right to the core? And what kind of a state of chaos is that going to create in society? And you know, and I know, when people's minds are in a state of chaos, they'll do anything they can to get rid of the scream. And along going to come the government with the new world order and the one world banking system. They're setting it up right now for the That's RFID, cashless society. It's all being set up in front of our eyes.
And you know what? Currency collapse, Barry, you and I have talked about this lots over the last year or so. You know, it's here right now. In December 31 on, currency starts to collapse. That's a hysteria.
What's going on right now, Mike? People don't know what's going on with the currencies right now. It's already started.
It's already started. It's well into measure. It has been for the last probably couple of years.
We just up the general public isn't seeing the effect yet. But when it does, when the general public does see the effect, it's going to come like a sledgehammer, folks, and that's what it's designed to do.
You're right, though, on the. I would agree with you 100% on creating the hysteria. They tested it in Greece with immigration, and Greece was stammered. There was no money. The EU wasn't giving them money. It started there, and then Iran shuts off its outdoor internet to its public on a tester. Just boom, just like that. The place goes crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, these guys have thought this out for a long, long time, Dave.
Sure,
I mean, everything you see going on right now has been thought about in think tanks and has been set up for years. And they're going to come to a point where the trigger is pulled. I believe that. How it's going to affect society, we talk about that a lot. We talk about all kinds of different scenarios.
Yeah. As it says right now, they're saying that 40% of Canadians are $200 shy of being homeless.
I think it's
higher than that. Now, another problem that we're not hearing of is all this stuff where, and one of the guys that I was talking about earlier to you, Barry, I'm going to put him in touch with you, was telling me that last night, I guess, in his area, there was all kinds of gunshots in the Muslim area that's near him. And he heard cop cars and everything else. And these are things that aren't being put out. I mean, it's not being put out in the media at all because they want to quash anything that goes against their narrative. And it's a bad thing. That puts us in a situation where they want to take our guns away, but they're not taking the guns away from the people that are not here to be nice to people with them.
If we allow them to take our guns, guys, our country is gone. Because
it's
the gun, Bill C-71, if you've read it, and the information that's actually out there, this is just another big sham. And if the Canadian people allow this to happen, then we are really going to lose it. Because we only have to look at history, and I've said this so many times, I've studied what happened with Mao and with Stalin and with Hitler and Chavez and all these dictators that have taken away the firearm from the public. You look at what's happening or what happened in those situations, and the same thing will repeat itself in Canada. This is nothing to do about keeping people safe. This is disarm the public. So when poop
and you can't even hunt to eat.
And that, no, that doesn't even matter. That's irrelevant. They don't care what you do to eat. That doesn't even come to their mind. They don't care about that. They don't care. Once you lose that ability to protect yourself, then you've lost all ability to have any type of control. And the currency collapse, which is what I've been hounding on lots in the last, really the last year and a half, strongly in the last year, that currency change is on its way. And it's going to change the world as we know it. I mean, that's another 2-hour show. But,
well, it is.
It's a serious matter.
Well, yeah, because we've talked about it so many times in the past, Mike, and I think we both agree 100% that this is going to be the trigger mechanism that they use to bring society to its knees.
People are realizing that.
Well, they say the Illuminati is thinking of something. Yeah, well, the currency change will probably be a pretty big one when you wake up in the morning and no one has any money in the world.
Hyperinflation hits. We turn into Venezuela in a couple weeks.
Everywhere in the whole world.
But that's the motive behind the carbon tax here. The motive behind the carbon tax is to make people poorer so that they can use that money to take control.
But we're tiny, Dave. We're tiny. We're 36 million of 7.5 billion, apparently. I guess we were never at 8, according to any graph that you could look at. But, geez, just seemed to me that we were up over the 8 mark. But it seems like, you know, we lost a few people along the way somehow, unless my mind has gone on me, which that's possibly true.
Yeah, conservatives, they took them up.
it just, you know, just in case they didn't think we were counting, like, you know, whatever. So at the end of the day, though, there's so much going on that the hysteria is in full bloom, and the tester of this whole deal at the end of the day is how does the general populace change it back, and is it strong enough to stand up for it worldwide? Possibly that could be true. And that possibly could be something that is true, because other countries usually follow other countries as opposed to people within their countries leading something. You know, that
so many
that
Canadians are brainwashed to believe that the government and the government media is right. And no matter what you do, you can't change that. And the reality is when it all comes down, they're the ones that are going to starve to death. And there's
we have to open the door with the superpowers. And I can't think of two better places than America and Russia to be on Canada's side, and having two neighboring partners that already don't have borders because we're trusted. I think that's a good place to start. And I think that you know, in America and the West, which, you know, Russia could dictate into the West. They are kind of West anyway. And they've always thought of themselves as the West. So
you have to look at it from another perspective, Mike. Mm-hmm. Russia is in bed with Iran and Syria and China. Mm-hmm. And to get them to stand with us or to stand with the Americans means that they would have to stand against what they've been supposedly preaching for so many years.
Understood. But that's with this whole new realignment. And I think that Russia's got a different task at hand when you're talking about dealing with the Middle East. It's attached to their continent. It's not like they're overseas or, you know, 7,000 miles away. They're next door to you, man. Like, Turkey's right there. Like, you know, it's a border with a fence. Like, it's a whole other conversation you're having with dealing with the Middle East as far as Russia. So they have a different play in the game as well. You know, the difference in these governments globally is making sure that we keep control of the whole objective, no matter what, at the end of the day, no matter what deals we make with other governments on certain things, to make sure that they abide by some rules, and it's always the superpowers that are going to lay onto that. So
the Middle East and China have different values altogether, and you can't have them stand on our side and stand on their side as well. They're in the middle, and I think they're less likely to do anything about it because of the position they're in.
Hmm. Good point.
I think that just all depends. That's a great point, Dave. But I think that, you know what, sooner or later there's going to be a discussion amongst world leaders that are yay and nay. I believe that's going to happen. Look what just happened in the UK. I mean, the Labour Party went down to, like, I don't know, 22%, like nothing. The righties, like, wiped it out. Like, the first one they won, and they weren't supposed to ever change it. And Boris jumped in as he got the position. And you know what? He said, let's have an early election. Let's make it before Christmas. And landslide. There's trouble. The people in Europe are understanding there's trouble. And governments are getting voted in that are saying, hey, we need to keep Western culture. We need to keep it straight. And we need to have our own military to back it off in case we have problems with certain people. And we may have made some mistakes on early jumping of certain migrations and certain beliefs that go against our standard migration policies. So there's a lot of things that people talk about around the world that makes things a little bit more calmed down and settled. And usually, like I said earlier, I'd rather be on the hands in Canada of having good relationships, not only with America, but with Russia as well. I think that's very beneficial for Canada. And I think in our security sense and maybe a bit of our disclosure and our description of how Western culture kind of works and our defense to it, I think that holds a place in North America or through the Americas from South America, from Mexico up, And I think that changes a whole collective, and that changes allies and trade and all sorts of things. It's thousands of page documents that it changes. Is it going to change, though? I think there's going to be a new world order of a sort. I don't think there's going to be a one world order, though.
Well, I can tell you right now that I have friends all over the world now on my Facebook page. And Charmaine Mulligan is one of them. She's from Ireland. And yeah. She's not getting any our messages from here. And we're getting limited messages now from there on what's going on there. Facebook or the governments or somebody is stepping in and blocking a lot of this.
Yeah, you know, well, we're seeing that ramp up everywhere right now, Dave.
Sure.
It's going to get all that attack is on. 1st.
That's well, okay. We'll find a way, guys. We'll find a way to fight back. We played without phones, and we went home before dark. That video that was going around, it was a good point. Yeah. We all survived. Well, so, you know what? We'll find a way.
We'll better do it pretty quick because the all-out attack is coming. I see it. Everybody around me sees it. Everybody that's involved in being any kind of conservative voice in the world right now is seeing it. So we better get prepared for it because the total shutdown is coming. And if they manage to do that, then our ability to have conversations like this will come to an end. And that's a scary thought, very scary thought.
I went to Canund. I moved to Canund with some of my stuff and because he said that he's not going to take a buyout. He's been offered a buyout, and he's not going to take it.
Yeah, I had a chat with Scott today, and I'm going to start putting some of my stuff over there because he's on the right path.
And eventually he's working at getting the live streams and whatever going, but it's going to take a bit because, again, they're just basically starting out, but they're working on it. So
I think and certain levels, the least social media, the better. And I think just the key points and the flavorable ones with the cherry top and their little white foamy stuff all over the top of it and all sugared and creamed is okay. But I think there's certain things we just got to keep off social media because it's such a target. And every time something happens, they shut it down more and more on you. So,
the trouble is free speech and freedom of expression is something that we have in this country that we are supposed to have as a right.
Yeah, it's all encompassing. We can't start saying you're going to take this away.
Yes, but like I'm saying, it's a whole culture, and there's some realignments that are going to happen, and that culture will be saved. Believe me, it will be. Like I said, Western culture deserves its own crib on this planet, no matter who we're speaking to, if that's how we can put it, our own place on this planet to defend it and have the right to have it. And I believe that we're starting to see that turn of the tide already. We're starting to see it. It can't be more huge than the second vote around when they didn't even have to do it. And Boris jumped up and he said, let's have an early vote. Let's have an early election right now. Mm-hmm. And then landslides the place. Guys, that is the biggest news in the world.
Well, why?
And because that changes Canada's deliberation. Remember, you know what?
You have to look at what actually went on in the UK. The UK voted to get out of that.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they're playing around with it their session. They were playing around with it and playing around with it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. So they were all fighting against it.
That was the lefties, but they all beat it, though.
But the people wanted it.
And they beat it.
And that's why they said, that's enough. This election, we're going to get rid of all these clowns.
Well, the leader called a new election, and he has the right to do that, and they have to conform. And that was it. And he wanted it by that certain date, and he did. He got it, and he won. He landslided it.
And we're down to the last couple minutes. So, Mike, you wanted to talk about a show you're starting next week. And, Dave, I'm going to have your last thoughts. We're going to shut it out for the first hour. This hour went real quick, guys. Thanks for joining me. Mike, go first.
We'll get Dave's
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Into the Night with Mike on Shake and Wake Radio next week. We're going to start. We're going to go 2 hours for Saturday and 2 hours for Sunday. And it's going to be political. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. We've got a couple other shows coming through the week as well. I think Annie's going to do a religious show. So I think we're going to co-anchor that and have a lot of fun with that and have a chat with a bunch of religious people around America and see where we end up at the end of that conversation. And just wanted to plug it out there. And, of course, Barry, we'll be having you on, obviously, and doing this political jargon around the world and seeing what's going to happen, see if we can write a playbook on this deal. But either way, thanks a lot for the plug. Thanks for having me on. Of course, it's always fun to be on with you, Barry. And And it was good chatting with you, Dave, as always. And thanks a lot for having us.
Thanks, Mike.
And Dave, I appreciate it. I really do, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to get the information out there and to discuss what's really going on.
Absolutely.
It's something that has to happen. And the reality is I wish more people could do it. But a lot of people are afraid of the consequences of a lot of this, and I'm not. The reality is that this is our future, and we need to change this.
Absolutely, Dave. And if it's, we don't do it now, it's going to be gone very soon. So time to stand up is now. Thanks for joining me, Dave.
Thank you, Barry.
We're going to be back, guys. We'll be back, guys, in about 3 or 4 minutes here. I'm going to have Luca Mango on from – he edits for the Liberty Beacon Network in the States, and we're going to talk about learning to deprogram the human brain. Back in 3 or 4 minutes. Well, welcome back to second hour, folks, and interesting conversation the first hour. Always good to get Mike and Dave in here. I enjoy talking with those gentlemen. I'm joined here the second hour by Luca. I pronounce your last name. I hope I get it right, Luca. Mangno?
Mino. It's like Mino. M-I-N-O.
Mino. Yes. Okay, because the J really throws me for a loop.
Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce that one, but you'll have to forgive me for that. Yeah.
Well, Luca, you know, think of it when the Italians talk. Hey, Mino.
Okay.
You know
what Mino, I mean? Mino. Luca Mino is with me. Luca edits for the Liberty Beacon Network, Roger Landry's organization. And we're going to talk about healing this next hour and a little bit about deprogramming the human mind. Luca, you have a show now focused on healing. Why don't you talk about that for a few minutes?
Yes, I'm really – it's an honor, first of all, to be called on the show and to be able to share. It's a real honor for me. It's a privilege, capital P. Yes, I do have my show on the air. It's on the Liberty Beacon, and it's going to be on my YouTube as well. It already is. It's called Learn to Unlearn, Learn to, the number two, unlearn, for a very good reason, because we have to literally unlearn everything we've been assimilated, we've been brainwashed with, we've been taught since we were born, literally. So after being a journalist slash photographer slash cameraman slash editor slash musician for the last 40 years or so, you get to be able to come to a place of understanding of what the world is made of and why and what to do about it to get out of it. So it's been a fascinating journey, and it's going to be wrapped up in 1 hour. It should be interesting. This is about healing from 2 cancers, by the way, that I got. Very aggressive cancer, the bladder cancer and low-grade prostate cancer. And I'm in the process of showing the, quote, medical establishment that indeed there is another way besides, check this out, 13 weeks of intense chemo. And if that wasn't enough, we're going to open you up and take out your prostate and your bladder. And, you know, make a makeshift bladder out of that and give you a catheter and send you on your way.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And, of course, in a couple of years, the effects of radiation will get you. We're not going to tell you that.
Oh, it's unbelievable what the effects of everything, just about everything man-made, is poison now. And I'm 61 years old, and I can prove it. And if people can't see that now, then they're... there's going to be no excuse. We're going to come to a certain point where it's going to be too bad. You know, we're not only going to deserve what's coming, but we're going to have enabled it.
Well, so, I can tell. Well, this is going to be a loaded conversation this hour, guys. So we're going to try and keep our points short. Because I know if I get talking about certain issues here, I'm going to be going for 10 minutes. And I know Mike will. I know you will.
And soon Luke will be my psychologist.
But yeah, you know what? We talk about cancer, Mike. We talk about cancer. Oh. You know what? It just absolutely drives me insane that the public can't take 15 minutes of their time and look at the alternative cures now for cancer that are working, that are being peer-reviewed to studies that work, that we are being duped by the medical profession. Mm-hmm. Chemotherapy is an absolute barbaric practice. It's got to be eliminated in our society. We have so many ways to beat cancer. I have seen it and witnessed it personally in my community. I've been able to do things for people to help them beat cancer. You tell me cancer is a death sentence, I'll tell you, you've got your head in the sand, folks, because it's not. It's an industry. All they want to do is chemo your body, sell you a drug, and send you on the way, and you'll be back in the office in a couple more months for another drug, and they'll send you on your way, and you'll be back in the office, and then you'll die. They take every penny out of your body they can, and that's the end of that. Am I correct, Luca?
If this doesn't work, come back and try this. We'll try something else.
Yeah, yeah. We've studied it for 3 weeks. It's safe. It's safe. Yes. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
How many drugs do they say on a TV commercial? I'll just say it really fast if I can. That have a longer commercial of if you have these problems, do not take this drug. So in other words, if you have a common cold, do not take this drug. It may kill you. But it's $7.95 on sale today at Target.
Right. There are so many things to talk about. And my cancers that I not one but two the cancers that I have generate, and I have the right to talk about this now. It's great, so I can say what I want. And it's backed up by hard research. Okay, you have a CEO of a drug company saying that it's nothing personal. This is business. It's got nothing to do with creating healthy products. This is business.
Yeah.
He's openly admitting it. Then in my research, what I did was, rather than getting so upset and just joining everybody else that's upset, I decided to get creative. And I said to myself, let's go down the rabbit hole. Let's find out why. Why was marijuana illegal in the 1930s all of a sudden? Why was hemp illegal all of a sudden? What happened when Rockefeller came in with his chemical poisons? Rockefeller medicines destroyed our good health, and for a very good reason, because that's what the plan has been since then. If you find out what Rockefeller has done, go look on YouTube. It's a 9-minute video. It's called Rockefeller, FDA, and Cancer. And in 9 minutes, they'll tell you exactly what happened with book burnings, with institutions that were bribed, the carrot and the stick strategy, to just destroy homeopathic medicine, which was the foundation of a good solid healthy nation, and destroy it with allopathic. And it's very obvious. And at the same time, you watch the Native Americans who lived literally what they eat. They were what they eat. And they were eating so healthy that they were the biggest threat there ever was to the settlers. So at the same time, you know, it was the genocide of the Indians. Let's kill the planet too. You notice anybody? Anybody notice that anything natural is being destroyed in the world? That's why. Because they don't want us to be healthy. It's nonstop. There's every single day there's you know, a lap full of information for somebody who's looking.
Luca, just for the listener, what was the Rockefeller, what was the YouTube channel called again? Sorry.
The video on YouTube is a 9-minute video called Rockefeller, FDA, and Cancer.
Right.
And it'll tell you exactly what happened. It's a carrot and the stick strategy. Rockefeller basically bought off all the industries, just like they're doing with politics now. Big Pharma is buying off all the politicians. It's the same thing. Rockefeller goes into these institutions, probably helped build a couple too, and establish a couple because he was so rich at the time. Mm-hmm. And he took over modern medicine. And it's blatantly obvious. They were so proud of their achievements that they show it all over the internet. So it's not hard to find.
Yeah, you know, that CEO came out and stated, Luca, that Big Pharma is at the pinnacle of their success when everybody in our society is sick. And then, of course, I reference back to our good friend Roger's statement that I've vetted and researched about the state of health in North America and how we are the sickest nations in the world, yet we spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest nation. So you got to ask yourself, is the medical profession working for people in any shape or form? And of course, the logical answer, of course, would be no. But the power of Big Pharma, the lobbying interest, lobbying power they have in government, the back door between them and the FDA and the CDC, big corporations like Monsanto and Bayer. If you study the backdoor connections between all these companies, you'll find out that it's just a matter of following the money, and you'll find the truth.
Go exactly.
Ahead. Go ahead.
And opiate, you know, abuse right from our medical field, right from the doctor to the household, to the housewife, to the house man, whoever you are, whatever that. So I'm sorry if I got any genders mixed up there, but whoever you are. Who's at home taking care of things that we take at home with. Is that fair enough to say, I guess? Mm-hmm. You know, bringing these drug problems right into our communities. And, of course, the United States and Canada being the largest in the world of the supplier chain of that particular diagnosis. So, you know, big and high on the morphine and lots of stuff that just comes out of the gate. It's so easy to get over the counter now from your doctor. People walk away with 20, 30, 40, 10 milligram tablets of morphine, you know, every mm-hmm. couple of weeks, all the time. Happens yeah. all the time. And they're driving cars around the kids after school happening. So,
With the backache that I have right now, I could walk down the street and get some oxycodone 30s, but I won't.
Yes.
Because I know what's going on. Alvin Toffler, he said once, this is a quote, the literate of the 21st century will not be those who can't read and write, but will be those who cannot learn, relearn, unlearn, and then relearn again.
Hmm. Correct. I agree with that 100%.
You know what I mean? And
we're just talking about this politically. Same story, actually. Very much
when you
so.
Go down this rabbit hole, where does it end? It ends up right in the dirt. It ends up with Mother Earth is where it ends
you can
up.
Only
why,
do that.
Why is that? Well, because that's what they've done on the land you're walking on for the last 10,000 years. That's what we're supposed to be living. You know, you got every animal of the forest saying, you know, we're here crying, but you don't hear us because you forgot our language. And that's where everything stops for me. It's like, what do you mean? Well, go spend an hour in the forest, you know, absolutely. go find out what weed is going to help you. Marijuana was a sacred medicine for the last 10,000 years.
I hate that word, Luca. I really hate that word, marijuana.
Okay. Hey, cannabis.
I can't say Native American because an Indian will say, I hate that. I like the word First Nation, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You never
hurt anyone's feelings. We're sorry what happened in the 1700s. We get it all, okay? Let's get on with it.
But, you know, we can really honor what happened in the 1718s, even 1900s now. It's still happening.
Absolutely.
They're still trying to kill us off. So it's a matter of us trying to get healthy as much as we can, as fast as we can. So
really, if you look at just the last 60, 70 years, the decline in human health, the new diseases that have come up in our society, all the different things that we're now dealing with, like resistance to vaccines and resistance to antibiotics.
Yeah.
We have now super germs that are coming up at an alarming rate, man. I was reading a report.
One-sided seeding.
Unbelievable. Some of the super germs that are now coming out, folks.
See, and everybody's course, it's only going to get better. Everybody's going to be seeing the cause. They're not going to be seeing the cure. That's the idea. Let's everybody get focused on the cause, and they won't know, like, you know, what the cure really is. See, and that's if Big Pharma starts to find out that, you know, oh, you know, hey, I'm getting cured from medical cannabis or from cannabis from the earth.
From CDBs. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they lose their profit, and that's what they're scared to death of.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag on that one, though, Luca. I mean, the information now is getting out about the effects of cannabinoids on the human body, and more people are starting to pay attention to it because they're seeing the results. I mean, right now, the biggest threat to Big Pharma is everybody embracing the cannabis plant and using it the way it was intended to be used.
Yes, yes.
The biggest threat we have to the agricultural industry is farmers actually starting to feed their animals with feral hemp, saturating their body with cannabinoids, and you're eating that, and watch the effect on human health. If we wanted to fix it all, the answer is right in front of our face. But we're going to fight that to the death, buddy.
It's always been
here. We were talking about Roger. Roger always says, we have cannabinoidal receptors in our brain. Hello.
We are.
There's a good reason for that.
They're in our mother's breast milk. When your mother's giving you breast milk, they have cannabinoids in that breast milk. That plant was meant to be put in our body and used, and they've taken it away from us. But we can get it back.
The buds, man. Deer love to eat the buds. That's something that they always did back in time. I looked into who eats the buds, and the deer were the big ones. They liked it.
I've got a jar of leaves in my freezer, buddy, and every time I have a salad, out comes five or six leaves, and they go in my salad because you know what? It's one of the best superfoods that you can put in your body today.
Yeah,
today.
If you know the source, if you know where it's grown,
you got to know where it's
coming
from.
I kid you not, the government is going to do the exact same thing as Big Pharma, or probably with Big Pharma, they're probably going to put GMOs and all kinds of all kinds of stuff into governmental marijuana. And then you know what? Then they get everybody to get their cards. And then they turn around and then they say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't have ammunition or you can't have arms at home if you have a medical cannabis card. That's what they're doing in Illinois already.
Here's what I'm doing right now. The after world market, which is in Canada here, is a very well displayed thing. I mean, people who are selling underground weed that deliver to your door is right on a website. Right there, no one's hiding. We're losing all this tax structure because of the Canadian valued public, and you know, we did some test samples, and we're moving ahead with a lawyer in the Alberta region. I don't want to put too much out on the debate right now, but suing the federal government because of the 71 pesticides that are inside the weed, and 19 of them already under refuge and rescue in every other country have been banned in any type of public inhalation. So what they're serving across the table is only enhancing what you just said, the Monsantos, and again, restructuring our minds to who they are and what length they will go to. I agree. I really agree on that. And that's a state of mind. And like they've done to us already, put us in this other state of mind. So we have to be able to take it from a state of mind and turn it back the other way. I've said for many years in radio and other ways of broadcasting to people that, you know what, the whole scenario where they've put us in this whole programming situation, again, will never be accepted. We were talking politically just on the last show and said, no one takes the world. Eventually, you know, people start to see within with what's happening. And I think we have a very big uprising in many things right now. Everything is changing because we're all really smart now. And now they're trying to stop us from talking because we're too smart. We're way smarter than them.
Exactly.
So they start to weaken, right?
So what you have now in the pipeline example, I won't talk about this too long, but I really want to say this. In the pipeline examples, what's happening there? Oh, people are finding out about how corrupt the pipeline industry is and how they cut corners and how they are deliberately putting down unsafe pipelines in the earth. Literally, it's done on purpose. It's done to be able to destroy the land, which is what they want. So they can clear the cockroaches, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is all stuff that it's proven. And you go to the food industry. Okay. The food industry, which pays no attention to health. Okay. And we're literally treated by the health industry, which pays no attention to food at all. Correct. So you've got everything taken care of in every corner that the government does to sicken the population, to weaken the population. You got fluoride, you have GMOs, you have chemtrails. This is all done on purpose so that
water tables.
They were hoping that we wouldn't, you know, ask so many questions and the internet wouldn't be so incredibly powerful for us. Facebook has been an eye opener for me. Every time you see you go to jail, you know you said something true. So it's great.
If it was very correct, I mean, they don't want that out there. Yeah, no, that doesn't. You know, let's just see what happens with the social media side here coming up because, you know, we'll see where Facebook stands in this deal. And how many people stay in? Because last year they had a real big reduction of people, primary users that seemed to go away. 42%, that was a pretty big hit on Facebook. People got sick and tired of seeing it. They were creating, you know, the negative where they want us to be in a mind of negativity as opposed to prosperous and finding a way and a solution out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So they assist and aid and embed it. Let's just see what happens on content on what they call racist. Let's just see. I'm not going to call culture into it. But anyway, we're talking medicine and healing. But this is all part of the medicine and healing. The things that you have to turn around and say, look, we have to unlearn what we've already just always been. We have massive change going on. So in many ways. And this is a good way that we can't think the old way because the old way has failed us since the start of time.
Right. We have to question everything.
Everything.
And it's about going after the opposite of what you see. I like to watch the news on CNN or on Fox because I like to know what the opposite is so I can – okay, that's what the truth is. You know, there are certain tools you can use.
Just to help you.
And just do your work and do your research. And the more research you do about anything at all, the more you find out – okay, let's see. I was sitting with my spiritual advisor the other day, And I said, I was having problem with retention in my urine. I had a problem. He said, Luke, go down to the high school. There's a huge juniper tree there before the snow hits. Go get the juniper berries. Make some tea. End of story. Just like that. And it's stuff.
Just
people
simple.
Do not know that. People
Who
do not
that?
Know
I
for a very good reason.
Seriously.
The doctor says, this is how I we make money. We give
myself,
you we give you a pill. This is how I make money. I give you a pill, and I see you every 3 months for the rest of your life. If I sit here and give you an herbal diet to cure you, I'll never see you again.
Yeah, my job will be redundant.
Well, big pharma, buddy, you know that doctors are never going to cure your disease or your illness. Anything they give you is a bandage. Because they come out of medical school and they have a little book of every disease known to man. And then, of course, they have their little book of every prescription that is applied for that disease. And if they fall outside of that parameter, they're not going to get paid. Doctors are the biggest hypocrites in the world. But I've learned myself that the biggest thing that you can do is go down to the bookstore and buy a book called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. Because every disorder in this book, it'll cost you $39 for the book. I have it
and
in my house every time. Listen, it's my encyclopedia now, folks, and I want to finish my thought on this. Because the more and more I read into what is going on, if something comes up in my body, I read what's going on, and I apply the natural remedies to it, and it is working for me. I mean, Chaga has been part of my regimen now for almost 5 years of my life. One of the best things that you can put in your body is Chaga, because the effects on your immune system. We as a human race, our immune system of the man living in 2019 is approximately 42% now weaker than the same man that lived in 1968. So if we take that into context, all diseases and all disorders in the human body come from immune system deficiency. So what we have now in society is an immune system that is way weaker than our forefathers, and that's because of all the chemicals and all the food and everything they're putting into our bodies. So what you want to do is put something in your body that's documented to super boost your immune system. Chaga does that. I never get sick. Even this little cold, I'm going to tell you guys, I had a big shot of Chaga this morning. I went and played hockey last night. I'm only going to talk about this for a sec. I'm sitting beside a guy in the dressing room.
He's was a sniffle. Champion.
I went and played last night against the young guys at 65. I went out and stymied them last night in net, but I'm not going to talk about that. I was sitting beside a guy in the dressing room and was sniffling. And again, I figured the guy's got a little bit of cold. I woke up this morning and I had a runny nose and a little bit of pain in my eyes, and my nose sign felt plugged up. Well, I drank about 3 ounces of Chaga this morning, and I had a teaspoon of apple cider, and I'm starting to feel really good. Mm-hmm. So when I do get something creeping into my body kicks it out really quickly. So the best thing you can do for your body, guys, and I've talked about Chaga so many times, go get some Chaga and get it into your body. It will really help your immune system. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk to you about SCACT in that case, because
okay, let's hear about that. That's a good one. I've heard about it.
SCACT has four different roots in it that are some of the most powerful that there ever were. And you have to know the blend of each. And when you get the SCACT, it's ESSIAC. When you get that, you can get it from, you can buy it at Amazon, really. If you get it in the organic department, I've been on SCACT for about a year and a half now, and I'm taking twice the dose for cancer prevention. And it's really, really good. You take it at night right before you go to bed. The last thing you do, so it'll work in your sleep, and then you take it the first thing in the morning. You fast an hour before you eat, or you can take it like an hour before you eat breakfast or whatever, and it really, really works good on you. That's one of the reasons why I'm healthy. So we're doing a big detour to go back to the reason why I'm doing my shows. You can clearly see by what we just talked about. We just did a whirlwind freaking tour of what's going on, and it's very clear that they're out to poison us. So what do? Find natural, okay?
Exactly.
And believe it or not, the earth is really wounded as well. The earth is really sick. So they also know that our medicines will not be able to work, nor will we be able to produce them once they sicken the earth. So what do you think they're doing?
Sickening. Of course they are. Well, look at the levels of beryllium, strontium, and mercury, and
aluminum.
And aluminum. Nano-sized particles that you can go anywhere in the world now and take a soil sample, and you'll get these readings. Well, what effect is that having on plants? of course, that gets into the root system of the plants, and then you're eating these chemicals. So what we're being attacked in so many ways as far as the human health goes. You look at the effects of genetically modified food on the human genome alone. And I looked at that one night and studied it for a couple hours. And I can't, of course, retain all the information, but it all makes sense if you were logically orchestrating an attack on the human being. It's just another mechanism they're using to just absolutely destroy us.
Multiple
attacks, Luca. Multiple.
One of the reasons why I'm doing my show is to chronicle my healing. Roger wants me to do a 15-20 minute show every week, just chronicling how I feel, what I'm doing, what's going on, and I'm up to number 9 next week. They're all available on the libertybeacon.com as well. It's called Learn to Unlearn with Luca Maino. And in the very last video, I'm going to be talking about how powerful nature is. I mean, you know, we are what we eat, okay? Literally. I mean, everybody's sick of hearing it, but it's the truth. Whatever you put into your body, whatever amount of sugar you put into your body, whatever it is, that's what you're going to get as a result. Yes. It's that simple. And right now I'm making a detailed list of, I think somebody said apple cider vinegar earlier on the show.
Yeah, so I'm using a
shot of that every 3 or 4 days just to let your body know where you're at and what you need, magnesium, calcium, whatever.
Tablespoon a day. Just take that.
Yeah. I'm shedding pounds since I started.
You have to find one person that's good for you and not listen to everybody, because everybody's going to say different things. You have to listen to one person and be really faithful to that one person and do what they say, especially with me and my doctor, because she knows her stuff. And she's been there.
This is interesting. Yes.
You know, you like bread? Fine. Go to, you know, gluten-free bagels or organic buckwheat, or, you know, there's always a way to get around it.
Here's what I did. And I love your idea of reverse unlearning what we've learned. I love that. That's ringing in my head since you said it. And I'm usually a little more chatty than this, but I've been really writing down a lot of stuff that you've been telling me, because here's always been my analogy. My doctor, I go to the doctor, I have my blood tests, I'm healthy, I'm fortunate, I'm 60, you know, don't have any real health problems whatsoever. And the doctor asked me one day, what do you think keeps you so healthy? You're pretty healthy, man, for your age. Like, you move around pretty good, all that stuff. I said, yeah, I know. I said, you know what? I never ate what they told me was good for me. And every time there was a discrepancy, like in broccoli or eggs, you know, and they were saying, you know, eggs aren't good. Okay, eggs are good again, blah, 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 blah. I never ate any of those foods ever in my life. And I'm healthy because I didn't challenge when they told me it was okay. Like you said, on the government, it's easy to go to – or news to go to CNN and just think the reverse. I thought that all my life and just thought, hey, look, if they're telling me it's this good, it is really bad for me.
Absolutely.
And
why do you think there's a big pharma commercial? Okay, I challenge anybody to go watch the news either in the morning or in the peak hour of the afternoon when people drive home or whatever, when people are eating dinner. How many big pharma commercials in 1 hour? I kid you not. It's unbelievable.
What's the new drug of the week, guys?
You know, and they're allowed to do that. They're the ones that buy our politicians outright. Oh, and by the way, Congress serves Israel. So you know what? It's not even about the people at all. That's a whole other show. But my show is definitely based on getting back to healing. And it's about
Come and watch your show. I'm going to come and comment and everything. I'm going to come in.
Don't get me in trouble.
I want to come in and listen.
There's something else too I want people to hear, because it's not embarrassing to talk about, but most doctors don't have a problem at all. But I'm sitting there driving one day, and I get my inspiration through driving, okay, when I'm driving on the highway, and you start thinking of stuff, and I'm thinking of my cannabis. And this is very powerful THC that I'm getting. I think it's in the area of 75 or 80% THC. Okay. And I'm taking it under the tongue, you know, and all of a sudden I say to myself, oh, eyedropper size. Luke, take it anally. And I thought, what a good idea, because the size of your eyedropper, it's better than a suppository. It's like twice as good because of the size of the eyedropper. If you go all the way up gently and then you just spray, and I do that 2 sprays a night. I've been doing it for the last 3 weeks because it's like, wow, pat on the back. Hey, you know, great idea. On top of the oil under the tongue. Again, you have to be really careful where you get it, who makes it. You know,
exactly. You got to know your source.
Don't trust.
And that's
government.
My concern. I'm worried that the government, like Monsanto, and these companies are going to get involved in it. And
they already are.
To capture this, but
well, they are. Mike, they already have
plans. They already are.
They're already genetically modifying this plant as we talk, because they're going to take anything beneficial out of it. They're not going to allow anything beneficial to come.
I believe it's happening.
This is how they got their patent, also, because you can't get a patent on nature, and that was a big problem that Monsanto was facing. Monsanto wanted to kill the bees off. Listen to this one. They deliberately killed the bees off and the birds because they know that those are the ones that make their biggest monopoly, you know, on the earth. They literally set out, you know, big picture of a dead bee on the cover of Time magazine. We don't know what killed our bees.
If they kill our bees and our birds, then we're dead too. So
no, that's what we're doing. And you have the elders that are sitting in their villages that say that they saw a flock of 70 cedar waxwings, you know, one year, and the next year there's only 30. This year there was only 2.
I've seen a lot of less birds in the last decade.
You know, of course,
well, the birds,
you know,
they have their head
on the ground and they're picking all day long. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen to them? This is exactly what they're doing to us.
Exactly. Bird reports, they've studied thousands of species of birds all over the planet, and every time, every result is coming back that the birds are actually getting smaller and the wings are getting bigger. So what is that telling you? It's telling you they're traveling more distance, finding less food, and this is widespread across the board. But if you look at the reports on the die-off of the bees on this planet, if that doesn't shock you to the core, if it's the die-off the plankton in the ocean, if that doesn't shock you to the core, I don't know what to tell you, because plankton die-off is our biggest threat right now. Oh, well, it is. It's one of our biggest threats, because this planet needs oxygen.
I'm so glad you said that, okay? Please, somebody take notes. Please, somebody take notes of this. This is about John Pilger, okay? John, P-I-L-G-E-R, for people who haven't heard of him. John Pilger has an article called The Third World War. You can Google it. It'll be the first thing that comes up. He talks about in the Marshall Islands. Ask yourself if the people care. Ask yourself if the people in government really care about us or marine life.
They don't at all.
Okay? Do you know what they did? They blew up. They blew up 66 nuclear devices between 1946 and 1958. That's the equivalent of 1.6 Hiroshima bombs every day for 12 years. That's how much they care about human life. And now you have CNN going, oh, we just found craters on the bottom of the Pacific. I wonder where they come from.
Goodness.
Isn't that wonderful?
I wonder where they came from, yeah.
Everybody's trying to cover everybody else when they never really cared about us in the first place. And once you can swallow that, then everything else makes sense. Okay, so now I'm just going to do the opposite of what this guy says. I'm going to listen to what my intuition says.
A
big part of my show is about listening to yourself. And I'm sorry I have to say it so much on my show, but it's all about listening to what your body's telling you. And most of us don't know how to listen, because we've always ran to Big Pharma or the ER when something was wrong.
Well, you're pretty exciting for me, because I have a really opt opinion like that. And people sometimes think you're a little nuts when you're speaking. And then they get their head around a little bit and they go, you know, kind of I'm starting to see that, you know, but it always takes others to kind of bring that to the attention of everyone. That, you know, anyway, you guys carry on, because I'm writing and learning. I'm going to
No, but you're really good to say that, because it takes a very strong person to come around afterwards and say, you know, I was wrong about that. That takes a really good person to. As a matter of fact, I'd like to be surrounded by people like that. Most people are so in love with what they think.
Exactly. People get their shackles up when you tell them, when people actually come to the realization that they're wrong. It's a very, very hard pill for them to swallow, because they start to realize, just like your show is called, that everything they're being told is a lie. And when people get to that point, then the lights go on. They have to get to that point. They have to have it in their heart to want to accept that everything they've ever been told is a lie. And that's a hard pill to swallow, because then you don't have a choice to do what we're doing right now, to continue speaking about it. We cannot.
Well, somebody better get creative, Barry.
Oh, pretty soon. this is what I wanted to talk about when I talked about the pipelines, how they're going to make, very simply, with the stroke of a pen from the CEOs of the banks, Okay, they're saying, okay, now we're gonna throw what do you call those, the felony charges on you for just being part of a peaceful protest at a pipeline. You will get an assistant murder charge or
struck down in a blaze of glory.
Okay. So they're protecting themselves more and more because they know we're watching and they know we're learning. There's this beautiful picture on Facebook that I have to tell you about. It's the little girl looking at her mom who's cooking, and she's stirring the bowl. And the little girl says, "Mom, why are so many people so sad?" And mom says, "We're living in a fake world, sweetheart, an environment with fake food, fake news, and fake people. And, you know, it's slowly starting to poison our souls."
Mm-hmm. It didn't come overnight, Luca. It's called slow kill. It's called slow kill. And if we look at everything they've done in the last 30, 40 years, I'll call that time period. It was going on before that. But if we really look at the ramp up in the last 30, 40 years, what's happened to the human health, it's a direct correlation to many, many things that they've done to bring us to this point.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see the effect. We're virtually a zombie apocalypse walking society that people don't – they have no control over the – almost like they have no control over the thought process anymore. And now we're going to roll out 5G, and we talk about that effect on society and all these other things that we have no clue what the long-term effects are, but they do, and it's all being rolled out on us. So we're in a very, very, very bad situation right now. But
I have a way of looking at things the opposite way, because when I had death in the face a few times in my life, I ended up saying, wow, you know, I'm really glad to be alive.
So, I said that a few times myself.
Yeah. So now that this is happening to me, it's like, no. I'm in full gear. This is like if there was ever a seventh gear, it's kicking in right now, because I'm going to be telling as many people as I can on my show about what it's really like to want to live. And you can turn your entire life around just by changing your attitude. And that means
algorithm.
That means changing the people that are around you, even if it means family members, mm-hmm. you know?
Most the best thing you can do is surround yourself with people that are on the same page as yourself.
And if you can't, then be by yourself.
Exactly. You know, that's why I'm enjoying this conversation right now.
But you're attacking it. You're attacking it. And it's positive and it's strong. And that's exactly the example of what we're talking about in everything. You talked about why is everybody so sad? Well, mm-hmm. because when we used to live in a world, and I'll bring this into biblical just for a second, then I'll bounce back out. That's another show.
That's fine. That's Indian tradition. It's the same thing.
We talk about what it's going to end up to be, and we preach it for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. I don't know if in the today's teachings of Christianity, let's say, mm-hmm. and it tells us that we're going to be in this state. How could we not be in this state? So we've been taught wrong there too. And I've mm-hmm. had this argument many times over the years that we were told that this would happen. How could it not happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're taught not to challenge. We're taught to just correct. Say, oh, okay, that's going to happen anyway. So why bother? You know?
Thank you.
Yes. Absolutely. And this is what's happening. So what are you going to do? Are you going to just be led to the edge of the cliff and jump off like all the other sheep? Or are you going to say, hey, hang on a second? You know, as far as I'm concerned, they tried to bury us. Okay. People like the people on the show and people who are listening right now, they tried to bury us, but they didn't know that we were seeds.
Yes.
That's another good one.
Yeah, well, we're definitely seeing a worldwide awakening. The more we see it, though, the more we see them starting to push back. And
that's okay. Good.
It's going to be an interesting time coming up, because I've said this on a lot of my shows, and it's one of the thoughts I get into is what kind of little toys do they have set aside for that particular time? Because they've thought out what's going on. They know how society's going to react. Everything we see and are experiencing right now, they have thought up in think tanks. They know how society will react to things. They've done problem reaction situations and solution problems for how many years have they used that equation? What's the next step, and what could they do to nullify what we're trying to do? Just thought process I get into. Just
wanted can to I get, can out. I give you a hint?
Yeah. I'll throw that out there, Luca. I know what you're going to say, but I threw it out there. Go ahead.
No, you don't know what I'm going to say, because this is something This is something that I didn't know until years ago. Rothschild have been in control for, you know, we know that some people know that they've been in control of this land since around 1600 or so. I'm just finding out now that they were responsible for the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and every single conflict that happened ever since then. I just want to talk about the Civil War was a really good example. Rothschild says, okay, one son in the north, one son in the south, and then we engineer this problem and we have everybody fight each other. And it's a game, and they literally feed both sides of the war. It's like a chess game for land from Europe, and they don't care
exactly
about the people.
That.
This is what they've always done. Okay, this is
it's
what the,
exactly that.
Let him finish his thought. Let him finish.
This is what the theft of Hawaii was. Okay, you want another good example? 1890, they come in and they annex Hawaii. Oh, really? Well, Queen Little, what I can't even pronounce her name right now. Lilawathwani is very close, but I can never pronounce her name properly. She was elected by her people. What does that sound like? Right. And she was put in place and she was doing a really good job with the whole island. Of course, there are some people that would shoot me for saying that. But everybody, you know, there's a lot of people that are against everybody. So there's always both sides of everything. But she was happily taking care of her people, and Hawaiians were living well until the United States comes in with the USS Boston and just takes over, literally does a coup d'etat like they're doing, like the CIA has admitted themselves that they've done over 80 times in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they do best. You know, Bolivia, Venezuela, the seven countries in 5 years in the Middle East. They've been doing this since they've killed 30 million people since the end of World War II.
Well, they create the enemy, Luke, and then they send us to go fight it.
So these are not the people that are going to help us heal, okay? I'm just lucky enough to know this for like 20 years or so of research, so it's fun. You know, I can talk about this all day long because there are so many different angles that come to the same point. It's so obvious. Intent, people. Intent, right?
Right. Well, I haven't got 20 years in, but I've got a few in. Go ahead.
There's a question from chat. Oh. I think Ray would like to know from Luca what it – what is that stuff you spoke of named Skit earlier or something like that?
S-E-A-C-T?
Yes, yes.
Okay, somebody take over for me because I'm going to go to the kitchen and get the bag that has all the information on it. Just 30 seconds, and I'll be right back, okay?
No problem. No problem at all. I'm always interested in hearing about new stuff.
I think it's E-S-S-A-I-C.
Okay.
And they pronounce it S-C-I-T.
I've heard of it. I think it's actually one of the references in my Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. It's one of the things I've read about. So
there we go.
I'm interested in hearing about it.
I'm back.
Can you send us a link?
Can I just tell a quick story?
Go ahead, bud.
Every time an Indian wants to make a point, he loves to tell a story. This is what I've learned from my Indian elders. I was saying to my first teacher one day, geez, I wish I had some chewing gum. And he slams on the brakes, pulls over, rolls down the window, takes his buck knife out and scrapes out, you know, a little bit of the bark off of the white, the white birch? That's what it was. And then he says, eat it. And it's got ants on it and everything. He says, throw it down the hatch. And within 2 or 3 minutes, it felt like chewing gum. He says, man, he says, you're eating the most powerful medicine there is. And he says, down about 20 feet down there, he says, see that other tree? I said, yeah. He said, that one will kill you. If you do the same thing you did to this one, it'll kill you because you don't know what you're – somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, that's how quick nature will kill you.
Exactly.
There's no mercy in nature. So if you go buy SCACT from this guy or that guy, or you know, you could be getting just about anything. But the very good company that I deal with which has the USDA stamp on it for being organic – it's called Star West Botanicals.
Okay.
And I'm not supposed to be doing PR for anybody, but anyway.
Good to share.
The ingredients are as follows. There's organic burdock root. There's organic sheep sorrel, slippery elm bark, and Turkish rhubarb root. And this is a prayer for me, guys. That's what I do. When I prepare it, I put it in the 3/4 of a gallon pot, and I fill it with water. And when it starts to steam, what I do is like the Indians, they sage themselves or they cleanse themselves with the steam. You're praying for healing. You're asking the herbs to bring you healing. It's a process, you know, different, completely different from somebody who's just going to throw it on the stove and go sit down and, you know, and wait for it to boil. I let it boil and I stir it constantly. I'm always over it. You're literally talking to it. You're breathing the stuff. That's another thing. What you can do is put a towel over your head and breathe it while it's boiling. Anything you do for the body that's natural, it'll just, you're encouraging healing either way. So
the more and more I learn about naturals, Luca, the more I apply them in my own life, the more I'm absolutely convinced that it needs more and more of my time. I've just gone through an experience with my leg that was absolutely miraculous, but yeah. I totally healed a complete tore ACL. I talked about this a little while ago on my show, that I was told that the only way that this would heal is with surgery. No other way it would ever be the same. You'll be limp for the rest of your life. I wrapped it with ginseng, a form of ginseng. It's called stinging nettle. The natives up here in North America have been using stinging nettle for thousands of years. It's got a nickname. They call it nitbone. Well, I wrapped my knee with that and comfrey, which is another incredible herb. You got to look up the properties of that, for 6 weeks in a row. And the ACL on my left knee is completely healed, and I'm back playing hockey. And the more and more I apply naturals to my life, the more I find out the birch tree is one of the greatest gifts ever given to us. Mm-hmm. Chag off a birch tree is a miraculous medicine. Chag off an alder tree, if you were to prepare it the same way, would be doing very, very bad things to your body. So it's important you know what you're doing with naturals, but if you embrace them properly, I haven't been to a doctor with the exception of my knee now in about 4 years. So there you go. All I'll say about that. Go ahead.
No. I'm going to echo that one, because sometime on another show, I can tell you about my last visit to the doctor, which was exactly the same thing. We had a shouting match between the oncologist and I, first of all, because he said, Luca, this is modern medicine. The only thing we know how to do is give you 13 weeks of chemo and open you up and take out your prostate and your bladder. And I'm like, oh, really? And I said, well, there's nothing cannabis. Much. When I said the word cannabis, he just kind of lifted himself up, because he was in that imposing position, like literally imposing on me to try and tell me that I had to get this chemo started right away. He looks at me and he looks at the wall, and then he looks back at me and he says, so we have nothing further to discuss. You're not taking the chemo. Have a good day, sir. And that was that.
Good for you.
And then 3 days after that, I get called in to my doctor, my urology doctor, who just slammed me to the wall. 99% of the time, this doesn't work, Luca. This is negative stuff. You're going to come up to us with a backup. You're going to have problems with your kidneys. Your kidneys are going to stop functioning. I just rose my hand. I put up my hand, and he stopped. And I said, you know what? There is a chance that. And he said, yeah, bad choice of words, whatever. You know, they're really trying their hardest to make us. When you listen to what Roger Laundrie says, when you talk about chemo, you're automatically worth about $250,000 to Big Pharma.
Right now. Mm-hmm.
Before you die.
And over 10,000 to the doctor, easy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah. 97% of the time, chemotherapy does not work.
Does not work.
The only reason why it does, according to Dr. Robert Glidden, I think his name is for money only, just like vaccines. Vaccines are the top. I'm sorry, they're a eugenics tool. That's bad the way deal. It is. So that's what they're doing. They're making money on us, and they're taking care of the agenda, which is depopulation, just like it says on the Georgia Guidestones.
And you it's know. Doing it right now. It's doing it in the last year and a half. I see a major deflation in the world numbers and the stats.
So you can't argue. You can't make this stuff up after 20 years. If nobody wants to follow on Facebook, then fine. I'll just heal myself. And that's something else, too. When, you know, the birds aren't afraid of giving their life, because they don't have to worry about anything. They don't have to worry about the branch breaking, because they have faith. They don't worry about it.
I'll get onto all that. I'll live to 100 and just antagonize them for the rest of my life. I'll have a great time doing it.
But all the negative that you just heard on this show, as far as I'm concerned, it's motivating, because it's against everything that you. It's against every entity of your being. It's like, there's no way we're going to be like them. I'm so blessed to know the difference.
As we know that mindset, and we turn that mindset around, then we succeed in the mindset alone.
Mm-hmm. And we're an example to others. Or we freak people out, and they just turn around, they just go away like they can't handle. That's what's so cool. That's how spirituality protects itself. If you really want to be a good person, if you focus on being a, you're going to just turn people away like, you know, like they're just totally disgusted with you and they can't handle you. Somebody else will come up and shake your hand and put their arm around you. How you doing? You know, it's your aura.
Well, it is, Luca, because, you know, in my daily life, I try and say hi to everybody I meet and smile. Mm-hmm. And I never used to do that. And I'll tell you, the effect that has on people, it absolutely is mind-blowing. Because all of a sudden,
yourself.
People, well, you know, but it's all coming from inside. I look at people differently now than I did earlier in my life. And I look at people with wanting to engage in conversations and find out what's going on in their world. And it's contagious. So try that. Just smile at people, say hi. It's absolutely, you know, amazing little conversation starter.
My wife and family hate going out with me because it's always a conversation in a shopping mall with somebody.
Yeah, there you go.
It's amazing the conversations you get into because people got it built up inside of them. They just don't know how to get it out. They want to unleash, but they have no mechanism to do so. When you step forward and offer that mechanism to touch base on certain things, it's amazing how much people want to open up. But when such a fear controls society. And that is something we're going to get rid of.
If you guys want to talk about the Bible really quickly, somebody said Christianity really quickly. I got something to say about that really quickly. Okay. There's one person who actually said that, you know, if you can't – if the people around you aren't like you, then just walk off, you know, close the door and dust yourself off and be on your way, you know. That's what you have to do. He also said that the biggest tension you're ever going to have, the biggest fight you're ever going to have, is family. You know, it's going to bring the sword between the father and the son and the mother and the daughter. That's what truth does. And that's exactly what happened to me. My brother is on one side, my sister's on the other. My only son doesn't talk to me anymore because of the crap I put on Facebook. That's what happens when you talk the truth. They don't want anything to do with you. Of course, my brother works indirectly for Monsanto, so we know where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't.
That will not deter us.
I'm a real embarrassment to the family. It's funny you said that.
Well, I've had the same experience, man. I get pushed back against a lot for what I believe and what I've taken a stand for in my life. But at this point in my life, if I don't stand in my truth, what do I have? No, I have nothing. I have nothing.
Yeah, we left with
and everybody here in this conversation, even though we might disagree on certain things, we're all here for the same reason. We see all these bad things going on in our worlds, and we have to call it out. It's not nice to call some of this stuff out, but you got to shed light on darkness. And I maintain that is the most effective tool that we can get these rats starting to scurry, because they're starting to scurry now. Hey, listen, we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show. I'm going to let Luca have a few thoughts before we close it out. And Mike, I'll let you have a couple minutes or a minute to share some thoughts. And we're going to have to close the show up for the week, guys. But it's been a pleasure having you two on. Even though I didn't get to say much, it's all good. Go ahead, Luca.
Okay. I didn't talk that much, did I?
No, it's all good, buddy. I'm not kidding. Lots of good thoughts here. Go ahead.
Just like Big Pharma, or just like the weed that the government is going to make and that's going to say it's safe and it isn't, okay? It's the same type of energy as doing everything the right way with the wrong reason. If you have love in your heart, if you don't want to hurt anybody else, then you're fine. That's all you need. It's as stupid as that. That's how simple it can get. What did Charlie Chaplin say? He said, love can do everything. He says, if you want to hurt somebody, control is the only way to do it. Love can do everything else. So that's my call, and it's all about, exposing, like he said, exposing everything, but doing it for the right reasons. Somebody came up to me one day and said, you know, that stuff can really eat you up like crazy. How do you do that every single day? And I said, because I love it, because people need to hear it, and because, you know, people are being, like, you know, really martyred for telling the truth. And I really want to praise your show as well for being out there and being proud to not be censored and not be edited. And Luca, you know, we can't talk about certain things on the air. You know what I mean? it's really good to have that and to have the liberty and to the honor of being asked to be on. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Luca. And you know what? We're going to do this again in the near future. So go ahead, Mike, last thoughts before we close up the show.
I think we need to do another one, the three of us with Luca, 2 hours. I think we need two hours because, well, you know, we just blew through an hour and 5 minutes. So we didn't really get anywhere. We got a lot of places, but, you know, we could have gone so far. And I think that's probably a good plan. Thanks for having me on, as like always, Barry, Into the Night with Mike on Shake and Wake Radio starting next weekend. So everybody go over there and tune in and follow us over there and have a listen. We'll be talking about a lot of these types of things. So not just politics around the globe, but just what's going on around the globe. And it's a long discussion, and we'll be having call-in and all sorts of things going on. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So jump in and see us, and thanks for having me, Barry. And thanks to Steve, who produces our wonderful shows and makes it easy yes. for us just to come on and rap. He's always a good guy. We like that about him. And he's also got an awful lot to say on his show on Tuesday nights. He should be able to talk about that as well. But anyways, so thanks a lot, Barry, for having me.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks again, Luca, for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Mike.
Yeah, it's been a really enjoyable conversation, and you're right, Mike, we could go on for another hour because there's things I wanted to talk about that we not even got close to touching on. So we'll definitely have to do this again in the near future. I want to thank everybody for joining in today. It's been a very enjoyable show. I was banging on 4 cylinders when the show started, but now I feel like I'm banging on 8, so... I'm glad I almost canceled my show today, guys, but I'm glad I didn't. Enjoy having these conversations, and I always learn something new. We are kind of in crazy times right now. We kind of pointed that out in many different ways today. We pointed out ways that you can really make changes in your own life. You know, everything starts at home. It starts, you know, there's an old saying that you got to treat your body like a temple. And if you applied that to your life and really took care of your body, everything else falls in place. And even though I still have one bad habit that I'm a really hard time getting rid of, I really kind of embraced lots of naturals in my body in the last couple, 3 years. And I'm seeing really good results and a lot better quality of life. And that really is what we, you know, getting older and what we really need to be able to do is experience a decent quality. And I'm telling you that switching to naturals, I consume cannabis oil every day of my life. I am absolutely blown away with studies I read on the endocannabinoid signaling system in the human body, but it all makes sense. So please embrace these. Go to the bookstore, guys. Spend $39 and buy that book that I've talked about many times on this show. Start reading it. It's called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. $39 I paid for this book. It was the best money I ever spent in my life. This has been a really enjoyable show, guys. I'm going to be back next week. I have Alex Newman from The Free American going to be reporting next week. He is right now at the United Nations Climate Summit in Spain. He has been at every United Nations Climate Summit for the last 25 years, and he's going to be doing a major report on that climate summit next week on my show. Looking forward to that. Please join me next week. And Roger Landry will be with me next week. So see you guys next week. Great time. Bless you all, and have a great week. Bye for now.